ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 11 द सिम्टम्स ऑफ कंडीशनड एंड लिबरेटेड लिविंग एंटिटीज टेक्स्ट नंबर 5। अत बद्धस्य मुक्तस्य वैलक्षण्यं वदामि ते विरुद्धाधर्मिनोस्तात स्थितयोरेकधर्मिनी। अत बद्धस्य मुक्तस्य वैलक्षण्यं वदामि ते विरुद्धाधर्मिनुस्तात स्थितयोरेकधर्मिनी। अत बद्धस्य मुक्तस्य वैलक्षण्यं वदामि ते विरुद्धाधर्मिनुस्तात स्थितयोरेकधर्मिनी। बद्धस्य मुक्तस्य वैलक्षण्यं वदामि ते विरुद्धाधर्मिनोस्तात स्थितयोरेकधर्मिनी। तबद्धस्य मुक्तस्य वैलक्षण्यं वदामि ते विरुद्धाधर्मिनोस्तात स्थितयोरेकधर्मिनी। अतबद्धस्य मुक्तस्य वैलक्षण्यं वदामि ते विरुद्धाधर्मिनोस्तात स्थितयोरेकधर्मिनी। मतजिस् अतबद्धस्य मुक्तस्य वैलक्षण्यं वदामि ते विरुद्धाधर्मिनोस्तात स्थितयोरेकधर्मिनी। अथ दस बद्धस्य ऑफ द कंडीशन सोल मुक्तस्य ऑफ द लिबरेटेड पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉडेड वैलक्षण्यम डिफरेंट कैरेक्टरिस्टिक्स वदामि आई विल नाउ स्पीक ते अंटू यू विरुद्ध अपोजिंग धर्मिनो हूज टू नेचर्स तात माय डियर उद्धव स्थितयो ऑफ द टू हू आर सिचुएटेड एक धर्मिनी इन द वन बॉडी विच मैनिफेस्ट देयर डिफरेंट कैरेक्टरिस्टिक्स। ट्रांसलेशन इन पर्पोर्ट बाय द डिसाइपल्स ऑफ हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की। दस माय डियर उद्धव इन द सेम मटेरियल बॉडी वी फाइंड अपोजिंग कैरेक्टरिस्टिक्स सच एज ग्रेट हैप्पीनेस एंड मिजरी। That is because both the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is eternally liberated, as well as the conditioned soul, are within the body. I shall now speak to you about their different characteristics. Purport. In the verse 36 of the previous chapter, Uddhava inquired about the different symptoms of liberated and conditioned life. Srila Sridhar Swami explains that the characteristics of bondage and liberation may be understood in two divisions, as the difference between the ordinary conditioned soul and the eternal liberated personality of Godhead, or as the difference between the conditioned and liberated living entities in their jiva category. The Lord will first explain the difference between the ordinary living entity and the supreme personality of Godhead, which may be understood as the difference between the controlled and the controller. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadatisva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Inabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudirayet Shrinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Riyantasto Yabhadrani Vidunoti Sarasvatam Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Yo Antapravishya Mam Vacham Imam Prasuptam Sanjeevati Akila Shakti Dharasvadamna Anyam Shahasta Charana Shravakta Agadin Prana Namo Bhagavate Purushaya Tubhyam Hare Krishna. Welcome to all the devotees for today's Srimad Bhagavatam class. And I would request all the devotees' blessings, especially the senior Vaishnavas, all the senior devotees that are sitting today. As it seemed to be like today's Bhagavatam class, the name was changing every 1 hour today morning. And I got to know only during the Japa time as I was trying to chant Hare Krishna. So today was a positive distraction. Usually it is some other distraction. So seek the blessings of all devotees that are present, that I can speak something to glorify the Supreme Lord for my own purification. And as I saw yesterday and some today morning also, devotees have not yet come out of the hangover of Brahmotsava. those intense hard work of so many devotees to put together the festival. And then personally, I have not yet got over the hangover from Govind Prabhu's class. The class was so profound that the class is only just circulating in my mind. And maybe something connected to the class will also come out. And one of the points he was making was about intimacy, that how due to the technology now there is hardly any intimacy. And I remember in one of the programs of Maharaj recently in New York, so he was telling that there was a new person who came to meet Maharaj. And usually whenever a program is announced, nowadays everyone checks who is the speaker, what is his online presence. Because if a speaker is not present online, then they are also not present offline. They are not present in front of the speaker. So they checked Maharaj's profile and video. And this one particular person, he was telling of a video which saw of Maharaj. And Maharaj didn't believe that video is online. This is about a story which he narrates about what happened in one of the incidents in New Vrindavan. New Vrindavan is in a forest place, so a lot of honeybees. And in this particular class, Maharaj was explaining about how different living entities get trapped. And so he was telling that this honeybee, as he was passing by in New Vrindavan, this honeybee just entered into his lungi. Sannyasis wear it, sannyasis dhoti. In South India it is called as lungi, but in ISKCON it is called as sannyasis dhoti. So this honeybee entered into dhoti. And then there are a lot of devotees present there. And the honeybee went into anxiety because it was not able to come out. Somehow it entered. Sometimes it happens that somehow the fly enters into your car and then the fly becomes very desperate to get out. But it doesn't know where it came from. So this honeybee, it was trapped. And then in that trapped place, it became very anxious and it thought it was Maharaj who trapped, and it started to bite Maharaj's feet, the honeybee. And Maharaj was in a predicament because he cannot lift his dhoti because there are so many devotees that were. But somehow he went someplace, tolerated all the bitings, and then he lifted his dhoti and the honeybee went away. And he said, I only told that story once in my life. That too in some place. It was here. So Anandan Pu is confirming that he told that story here. I never personally heard that story. And then he was quite amused that the online can just put everything there. And fortunately, this person saw a video that was funny, but it was not something Maharaj would have liked to be there online. And he was telling that the presence of these cameras sometimes make our life very impersonal, because you are more conscious of somebody else watching than the person who is in front of you. And I'd like to confess here that before this interaction and discussion, even when I used to give class in Bhagavatam classes, I was equally conscious of the online presence, that how people are hearing online, than the devotees that are actually sitting in front. And if you remember, in every class I used to seek blessings of all the online Vaishnavas also. But I thought I should change that and fully dedicate my attention to those devotees that are actually present here. Of course, no offense to those devotees that may hear it online. But slowly, somehow, other aspects remove that personal touch tradition that is there in discussing. And he gave a very nice lesson from that story, because we are discussing about conditioned and liberated living entities. So many times we see people are biting us, people are not good to us, and they may be thinking that we are the cause of their trouble. But the whole reason why they are acting weird is because of their trapping of material nature, because they are conditioned by the three modes. These three modes are not allowing them to act in a loving, in a natural way, the way pure living, pure souls act, but they try to harm each other, they try to trouble each other. There were in a forest, two friends went to just do sightseeing, and a tiger started to attack them. And as the tiger was attacking them, this one guy, he started to tighten his shoelaces. So the other friend asked him, "So do you think you can outrun the tiger by tying your shoelaces?" He said, "I can't outrun the tiger, but I can definitely outrun you. Because the tiger only wants one meal. The tiger doesn't look for more meals." Recently, one of the devotees, he went to this South Africa zoo, not the zoo, the safari. And there, he showed the video where humans are touching the lion and tiger, and they are kind of putting their hands on the tiger. And it's not that they are doing from a caged thing or with some protection. They don't have any protection. And the tiger and lion is just there. And I asked him that, "So didn't you fear, or how does it work?" He said that once the tigers are fed for the day, they don't hunt for another prey. They don't even look at you as if you are a prey. So therefore they feed the tiger sumptuously, and after the tiger or the lion is fed sumptuously, then any human being goes, then he can touch, and they don't do anything. But don't try this, because we don't know whether the lion is fed fully or not. The experts know. So the living entities that are trapped by the material nature, because of their trappings, they act very artificially, or the way they are not supposed to be. And His Holiness Hridayananda Maharaj, he wrote this book on the Bhagavad Gita called as Comprehensive Study of the Bhagavad Gita. One of the amazing books that I have read in recent times on the Gita. Very profound way he has explained. So in that he writes that every human being or every living entity has three sides to his material existence, which are basically sattva, rajas, tama. But he has put it in a very understandable way. He says that every human being has a good side. And you'll find even among the worst of the criminals, they have some or other good quality in them. Or every human being, that is something that is good about them. You'll never find somebody who is fully and 100% full of faults. And every human being also has a passionate side, that he wants to accomplish something, he wants to achieve something. It may be the amount of money you get, or the amount of prasad you eat, or the number of rounds you chant, or the amount of books you read. Something you want, the living entity wants to achieve something. This is the passionate side of the living entity. And every living entity also has a dark side, a side which is not so good to look at, a side which often comes out when the living entity feels trapped, feels victimized. Then this dark side of him comes out. And when we enter an elevator, the elevator has two jobs. The elevator can take us up or can take us down. Same way, when we interact with others, we can act as an elevator that can take others' consciousness towards the good side, or we can degrade their consciousness towards the dark side of them. Therefore, it is said, try to bring out the best in people. And if you act in a insensitive way, you may actually bring out the worst in them. And the worst side of them is not really them. And that's what Lord Krishna is explaining to Uddhava, that in the same person, both these qualities exist. Just like in the same body, the soul exists and the super soul exists. Atma and Paramatma exist in the same body. And once I was looking at how many souls actually exist in this body. It is not just two souls. Just in the mouth, there are 3 trillion bacteria that are there. And 3 trillion bacteria is more than the total population that is on the planet Earth. So there are 3 trillion souls just in your mouth. What to speak of your entire body? How many souls are there? But that particular bacteria soul has only control on its particular bacteria body. Its consciousness only exists till there. Therefore, when that bacteria is eating us up, it is feeling pleasure. But the consciousness to whom that body is allowed to fully permeate, that body is feeling pain. And in this way, this just in this one body, there are hundreds and trillions of souls that are existing. But somehow one soul has been given full access, full permissions of consciousness. But whereas other souls have not been given that, although they are all existing. And this seems to be quite amazing, that who decides what is the area of control of different souls that are still existing in the body. Obviously, it is Krishna's amazing creation, that it just doesn't put the soul in the body, but it can put so many souls in the body, and still each one has his area of jurisdiction, and they can't go beyond that. And it's not that, okay, the actual soul lives and then there are other souls that can take over. They can't take over. The bacteria cannot make the dead man alive. So, and as it is many times said, that in the Satya Yuga, both the demons and the devatas, they used to stay on different planets. Like Hiranyakashipu was staying in one planet, and Indra and others were staying in another planet. In Treta Yuga, the demons and the devotees, they stayed in different countries, Sri Lanka and India. Of course, in Vibhishana was also there, but in general. And in Dwapar Yuga, the demons and the devotees, they stayed in the same city. And in Kali Yuga, the demons and devotees stay in the same body. And we all see that we have these three sides to us. A good side that wants to serve, a passionate side that wants to put some of the Mahaprasad into the locker, and then a dark side that becomes super angry when they see somebody else taking some of your Mahaprasad. So, and the symptom of a conditioned soul, somebody who is conditioned by material nature, that is always, like this verse explains, Yasyayam Shruyamananam Krishne Paramapuruṣe Bhaktir Utpaddate Pumsam Shoka Moha Bayapaha. That the conditioned soul is always trapped between Shoka, Moha and Bhaya. Shoka is lamentation. Moha is usually translated as illusion. But in this book, Ridhan Maharaj translates it as confusion. And then Bhaya is fear, or will I get this or not? And we can see that we are always lamenting about our past, especially if our health has gone bad, and always thinking, maybe I should not have behaved like that. Maybe I should have not eaten so many things that I ate, or maybe I should not have done those overnights. Many things. Or if somebody has lost a dear one, then he is also lamenting, I should have met this person and told him sorry for what I have done. So in this way, the living entities, usually when past comes, past is filled with being sorry. That I didn't join the right school, I didn't join the right job, or sometimes I didn't join the right temple, or the right counselor, or the right teacher. So the past is all about sorry state. And there is a famous article also that states the top 5 regrets of people before dying. Most people, when they are about to die, they are filled with regret. Because there is no future for them. The future is few seconds. And when they look at the past, the most overwhelming emotion that they get is of regret. That maybe I should not have spent so much time working hard, or I should not have taken care of, spent more time with my loved ones. Different regrets. And with the present, we are always in hurry. That we are not able to focus on what we have. When we are in Mangalarti, we are thinking, okay, let the Mangalarti end soon so that I can chant my rounds. And sometimes you see, even after the shank is blown, when the singer keeps singing one or two more times the Hare Krishna mantra, then everybody starts to look at him. That, come on, time is precious, especially in the morning. And how can you chant more than that what is prescribed? Or say in the Narasimha Arati, somebody repeats Keshava Drita, then others look like Narasimha Dev to him. So usually we are always in hurry. And being in hurry, we are never able to experience what is in the present. As one of the Goswamis explains, there are 4 types of dhyan. Nama dhyan, रूप ध्यान, सेवा ध्यान एंड लीला ध्यान. देर आर दिस फोर टाइप्स ऑफ मेडिटेशन द डिवोटीज डू. वी मेडिटेट ऑन द मंत्र, वी मेडिटेट ऑन द फॉर्म, वी मेडिटेट ऑन द सेवा एंड वी मेडिटेट ऑन द पास्ट टाइम्स ऑफ द लॉर्ड, नाम रूप गुण लीला. बट ऑफ एंड वॉट हैपन्स इज दैट वेन वी आर सपोज टू डू नाम ध्यान, समो वी डू सेवा ध्यान. We are thinking about the service. And because of that, our rounds get left. And then, when we have to do seva, then we are doing namadhyam. We are thinking about the chanting that is left. And therefore, never in proper mood of being there in the present. So therefore, every activity we see, we do it in a hurry or in a quick mood. As the verse is there, akama sarvakamova moksha kama udharati tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusha param. No matter somebody is having no desires or full of desires or desiring liberation, if one intensely practices in the process of devotion service, then that is the perfection, yajeta purusha param. Then the Supreme Lord is perfectly worshipped by the tivra bhakti. But instead of doing tivrena bhakti yogena, we do tvarena bhakti yogena. That we are always attributing our devotion service based on twara means quick in Telugu or most of the languages. Twaraga means quickly. So the day you have chanted your rounds quickly, you think my chanting was good today. So we bring down the pleasure attribute of Krishna, that whether I please Krishna, based on whether I have chanted quickly today, or whether I have cooked quickly today, or whether I have done this service quickly today. And when there is a delay, then naturally you keep cursing yourself. Why is my chanting so slow today? So conditioned soul is always in hurry about the present. And not just Bhagavatam is saying that, so many other poets, like that famous poem is there where he is saying that no time to stand and stare at the beautiful scenery that is there, or when we are taking prasad, also we are in hurry. Finish this full so that you can get more quota. You have given a glass of sweet rice and you are constantly watching when is the next glass going to come, and to empty this so that you can get next glass. So that's about being in hurry mode about the present. And of course, about the future, we are in the worry mode. So the three modes of material nature translate into sorry mode, hurry mode and worry mode. And to be able to come out of this, one has to understand the basic difference between somebody who is liberated and somebody who is conditioned. He is that the conditioned living entity thinks himself to be the end user of his life. But whereas a pure devotee, somebody who is liberated, he understands that everything that he is getting, he is not the end user. Now this is a marketing word. I hope most of you understand that when there is a product that is being sold, somebody is a consumer. He is called as end user. And therefore, any time you buy a software or where you buy a gadget, you get a huge PDF file. Unless you say agree, you cannot go ahead, whether in the software or in the phone, Android or iPhone, whichever. And that's usually called as EULA, End User License Agreement. That you are the one who is going to experience this gadget now, this software now. And there are a series of disclaimers, usually no one reads them, because we are in a hurry. And In that hurry, we just say, agree. I totally agree. I just want to get the product. And in that, all the privacy things are there, that your data can be accessed by anyone, by those who are online. And therefore, you see, you meet somebody one-to-one, and then next time when you open Facebook, Facebook suggests him as your friend. That accept him as your friend because you met him at this particular place, there, or you search some product, and wherever you go, you find that product. So there is no privacy. That's the EULA, that's the end user license agreement, that you say, whatever I am doing on this can be accessed. So, and when a conditioned soul thinks himself to the end user, which he is not, therefore when the system that he is operating doesn't work fully as per his expectations, he becomes angry. But a pure devotee, he knows that I am only a part of the supply chain. The end user of my life is Shishir Radha Gopinath. That they are supposed to be getting pleasure from my devotion service. Not that I am supposed to experience pleasure, but obviously the natural result of we giving pleasure to Krishna is that we also experience that pleasure. Maharaj is one of another classes he was explaining the nature of this honeybee. Because usually the sadhus are compared to honeybees. They are called, their profession is called as madhukari, because they go house to house and they beg the food and then they go ahead. And he was explaining that how this term madhukari is more deeper than just begging alms at different houses. Because just like as a honeybee is only able to extract nectar from the flowers, because the honeybee is not taking the nectar for itself. The honeybee is only a part of the supply chain. The honeybee, when it takes the nectar, it goes and it deposits in the beehive. And there, the beehive, the end user of all the honey that the bee collects is the queen bee. And he was explaining that the bee, that particular honey bee, it is working hard day and night to collect that honey. But never in its life does it personally meet the queen bee. It's not that it takes all the honey and it gives to the queen, and the queen gives a medal to the honeybee. The honeybee is just, of course, here programmed by material nature to work like that. But a devotee takes lesson that what does it mean to be a madhukari? What does it mean to be a bee? It only takes the honey and it just is the mood of the servant of the servant of the servant. That you just go and deposit the honey, and then there are other agents that take that, pass on that honey towards the queen bee. And same way a sadhu, a devotee, he doesn't think that all that I am getting in my life is for my pleasure. And he said that the fly, the main issue with the fly is that when the fly is sucking the blood, the fly thinks this blood is for me. Because the fly, the mentality is that the fly, I am the end user of my endeavors. But whereas the honeybee knows that I am not the end user. And was explaining that when are we able to find good in others? When we are like the honeybee. When we know that I have to extract the good in others and offer it to Krishna, because I am not the judge of everyone. It is Krishna, it is Srimati Radharani who will gauge everyone. But if I become the part of the supply chain of providing nectar to for their pleasure, then anywhere, any filthy place I go, because my mood is to give, offer pleasure to Radha and Krishna because they like nectar, therefore I'll try to seek nectar from everyone. But when a person starts to feel it is me who is supposed to enjoy, then he gets bound, and in everyone, somebody who is not giving him pleasure, he starts to find faults because he feels he is the end user. And and another thing that he was explaining, that the honeybee, when it goes from flower to flower to flower, at the end of the day, it knows where is its shelter. Its shelter is fixed. It goes to the beehive. It doesn't rest any other place than the beehive. Same way, a devotee may go into the material world and get so many things for Krishna, but ultimately his shelter is the Lord's lotus feet. He doesn't take shelter in any other thing other than, it's not that the honeybee comes, he thinks, I am away from so many honeybees there in the beehive, say the Brahmachari ashram or the Radha Gopinath temple, so many bees are there. This flower is lonely here, and let me spend my time and just take a nap here because there is no one around. The honeybee, its only shelter is the beehive. And when it goes to the flower, it is only to seek that nectar and then moves within short time. But whereas the fly's night stay is every day different place. It doesn't have a shelter where it goes back, because the fly is only living for enjoying in this material world as the end user. Therefore, it is constantly seeking those places where which will give pleasure. And in our life also, if we stop being the end user and start to see that how I am part of the supply chain, part of the parampara to offer pleasure to Shri Radha and Krishna, Shri Radha Gopinath, then we will be able to come out of these trappings of material nature of the three modes, the hari mode, the worry mode and the sorry mode, and go back to offer pleasure to Shri Radha Gopinath. I'd like to stop here and see if any devotees have any questions or comments or clarifications. There is only 2 minutes. Nandulalpu. Yes.
Thank you, Prabhu, for giving us so much insights and passing on the message of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. Just one small point from my side. You know, you're talking about the different functions of a bee. So one another thing that a bee does is, while it is collecting nectar, it also pollinates those flowers. So it takes, you know, from flower to flower, that leads to cross-pollination. So similarly, a sadhu also, when he goes and takes food or some madhukari, he actually also gives transcendental knowledge there. And that's how he maintains the culture of the society. So that's also one another.
Yeah. Thank you. That's also another important point. It was in my thing, but somehow it missed. But thank you, Nandulapu, for adding. Any other comments, questions? It said now we are all celebrating Jagannath Rath Yatra festival. So one of the reasons why Lord Jagannath's eyes are so big is because he is looking for that goodness, that there must be some good in each living entity, and I'll give credit for that goodness that he has, like Aho Bakiyam Stanakala Kutam. Lord Krishna just saw that small goodness that he has, that she has, and gave her supreme liberation. Same way, Lord Jagannath is also having big eyes. One reason they say is because he is searching for the lost souls, and when we lose something, we make our eyes big. So Lord Jagannath is also looking and seeing where are all the lost souls, when will I find them? How will they come back? And also when we approach Him, He is not just looking at all our faults, but whatever good we have, He is magnifying. He is trying to seek out that. And we are also helping, assisting Lord Jagannath and the Parampara in that endeavor. Then we please Jagannath, Baldev and Subhadra. So thank you very much for your kind attention, and please forgive me if there was anything inappropriate. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.